Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Adam Carter, what percentage of the population today in the United States of America is aware it's President's Day?
Well, if you have kids, you're definitely aware.
And the kids are.
Yeah.
So let's say the folks who don't have kids.
Yeah, let's eliminate the people, parents.
Yes.
So then of single, so just people without kids,
mm-hmm.
I would say.
People who hate children, I think we're saying. Like Dan Cook. Hates kids.
I'm going to say out
hates
of that group, I'll go 55%.
55% know?
Do not know.
Do not know.
That it's President's Day.
Okay, Dan Cook, if you had to go higher than that, individuals who do not have children, so they did not have to adjust their day.
Right.
Adam has set the number. It's slightly over the majority. Don't know it's President's Day. I'm just going to say right now, I'm going over.
You think so?
I think
so. I thought
that
was a pretty good number. If anything, I would have gone a little bit under just because of all of, like, the Mattress Day sales and all the advertising that gets connected to
that's
it.
That's it, though.
No, that's not because people actually recognize the holiday. No.
Yeah.
It's my favorite holiday.
That's such fake news. That's such fake news. Plus, you got into a Twitter battle on President's Day when you were...
I've been going to the Millard Fillmore card for so long.
You were taking Jason
TV
to Russia.
TV guy co-ops my joke, and he does it every year. It's Millard Fillmore.
It's a curse to be as funny as you that we all are trying
to... All the greats had all their good material stolen from them, too, so I guess I can't be too...
Who else would you consider yourself in that pantheon of people stealing
Milton Berle,
Cosby.
I was gonna say Cosby, but you know.
Anything else you stole for Cosby that we need to check out?
No.
Yeah, Millard Fillmore for comedy is
the line
to say.
You can't go wrong with a Millard Fillmore.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Let's go with this one. Hartman Carter Cook here on President's Day. How many Millards do we have right now living in the great state of Minnesota? Millards.
Under 10.
Under 5?
Five is a good number.
I'm going under 5. Millards.
I think when you start adding in greater Minnesota and some of the aging population.
Oh, really?
I would say significantly over.
Did you hear that? Dan profiling and critical. Mr. Metro Area. Mr. Never Leaves. He doesn't even leave Hennepin County.
Not generally.
And now he's mocking the other 86 counties by demeaning them that you yokels have Millards. Is that pretty much what you said?
No, it's not even remotely what I said.
Adam, was that your interpretation of what Dan had to say?
I'm not listening.
Okay. Thank you.
Quick search of Facebook. There's no Millard's first name.
No Millard's. We could ask Jacob Fry, the mayor of Minneapolis, who's going to join us.
Oh, you got him on, huh?
We do. The John Croman video. How would you describe that?
Tense. Tense hallways, a walk and talk. A tense walk and talk.
A walk and talk. I think that's an excellent description.
Don't touch me.
But there was a lot of touching before that.
Yeah, he got a finger to the chest, did he not?
Oh, yeah. Representative Mac Rosal and R.T. Ryback, Jacob Fry are over there.
Don Fraser.
Betsy Hodges. Charles Stenvig.
Mayor Sharon Sales Belton.
Yeah, I think we're done right there. Can we name another?
Was Hubert Humphrey
ever
mayor of
Minneapolis? Hubert. Now I'm really done. So... Sales Belton's over there. No, Fry's over there because he's fearful, like a lot of mayors, about local government assistance is going to be cut. And he's campaigning about it. And the representative, who is a proud conservative, and the mayor, who is a proud liberal, don't see eye to eye. And they basically accuse each other of lying. There's patting on the back. There's fingers to the chest.
It's kind of the firm pat, like, hey, buddy,
you don't see it that physically tense normally, do you?
No.
So we reach out to both. We'd like to have the representative on, too. But so far, Jacob has responded. So Jacob Fry's with us at 1235, 105, overrated, underrated, properly rated. And we have a number of calls out to various guests who we hope come through before we are done at 3. I am one who takes no joy, and I rarely jump into surroundings that don't involve me outside of noon to 3. Noon to 3, I get my opinion on stuff, right? That's what I'm paid to do. That's what I'm supposed to do. If I don't do that, I get fired. But in the rest of my life, if it doesn't directly involve me and I'm just an observer, my ratio of getting involved in something is under 0.02%. Are you guys one, if you see something and it doesn't directly involve you, but it draws your attention, are you ever inclined to get involved? You're going about your life, and all of a sudden you see something, and you're...
Not usually. I wish I were more. I mean, I've always thought, okay, is this going to be a situation where I'm going to get involved?
Yeah.
And I've yet to get to that situation.
Yep.
There's probably a couple times when I might have should have gotten involved.
Should have done it, yep. Dan, how about you?
I'm a no unless I think somebody's physical safety is in danger. You know, if there's an argument between two people and it just is a heated argument and I'm not seeing anything that inclines me to think that one person is about to get seriously injured, then no, that's their business. It's not mine. But if there's a situation where I think somebody's going to get hurt, then yeah, I would absolutely.
Okay. So that's okay.
That's where my line is. Yeah.
So I put in a very weak performance at the Lifetime Plymouth, but at least I show, right? I give myself about a 3. I'm walking out, I get to my car, and a car next to me has a dog in it, right? Great. You know, we all love dogs. Well, no, Adam likes dogs. Dan and I love dogs. We've established that before. And I see the dog, Adam, cute dog, who's being very friendly, kind of comes over to the window by me, and I'm kind of tapping on the window trying to be friendly. And I look, and I don't see any windows up in the vehicle. And I've grabbed some sort of drink, a smoothie of some sort. And so I think, all right, I'm just going to stay here for a couple minutes. I'm assuming somebody's just going in and out. And I, you know, sometimes we have this default that dogs or animals more than humans will do anything. Now, again, I would have absolutely done even more if this was a child or somebody who was in that vehicle and seemed to be in stress. So I waited about 20 minutes. And finally I thought, well, what should I do? I'm at this Lifetime in Plymouth. And how about this? I'll go inside. I'll go inside and I'll talk to people about what's going on. Let's pause here. I'll tell you about that conversation. And then I want to know what you would have done. Because all three of us are admitting we rarely, I'm trying to think of another time recently, and nothing really comes to mind where I'm just seeing something that doesn't involve me at all, and I decided to jump in. Because the next part of this story, the explanations were pretty bizarre, pretty lacking, in one case, an absolute cop-out. 14 past 12, on President's Day, on a show that draws great numbers regarding President's Day for some reason, this show right here that you listen to. 19 past 12, Jacob Fry in about 15 minutes. So, again, the quick setup, I'm at Lifetime Plymouth, very poor performance by me, but at least I was there. And I get to my car, and the car next to me, all the windows up, and a small dog. Small dog, and I kind of tapped in the window, was trying to be friendly. And the last couple minutes before I decided to go in, the dog started to lie down in the backseat. So, Adam, that raised my antenna even more. What do you think my antenna would be, by the way, if I had an antenna? Would it be just coming right up my backside? Is that where you think my antenna would be?
Or your head.
My head. Well, you know, I mean, a human and an antenna, I mean, it could be a very different spot.
But wouldn't the dog laying down in the back seat give you a little comfort? Like, oh, okay, he's comfortable in there.
didn't. It just I wondered, since he had been in that spot for as long as he had been, or she, I don't know. I wasn't I wasn't that deep in my investigation. It just gave me pause. So let me, you guys, if you waited for a little bit, and we all agree we normally wouldn't, but now let's say the scenario, if you waited for a little bit, what do you think you would do? Wait for 5 minutes, wait for 10 minutes, and then leave? Or?
And this is, so this is this weekend?
Saturday.
And it's 30?
30 out.
30 out?
Mm-hmm.
I got to be honest with you, I'm probably not giving it two thoughts.
But I'm saying if you've now decided to wait, you just wait 5 minutes and then you leave, you think?
Again, I probably don't wait.
Yeah.
Unless it's, I mean, if it's 80, then I'm probably, okay, what the hell? I mean,
yep.
And then I'm probably waiting 10 minutes. And then if not, I'm going probably going in and saying, hey, there's a dog out there in a car and it's 85 degrees out.
Right.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. I give it maybe 20 minutes or so and then go back into the club and say, hey, there's a car out here. Here's
what? No, but he's saying he's the opposite. He said he wouldn't have stopped at all.
Okay.
That's what he just said.
I'm not going anything. I'm going back in to the club and saying, there's a car out here. Here's the make. Here's the model. Here's the license plate. There's a dog in there. It's been, I've been waiting for 20 minutes. The owner hasn't come back. You know,
that's about what I did.
It's so, on you now.
So I walk in. And I say, this is kind of a strange request. This is not something I do. I'm just going to give you the information. And I go, I'm parked at this end. And I even said, I know it's a nice winter day out. I'm just giving you the info. I've waited about 20 minutes, small dog in this car, windows up. And there's three people. Well, there's two people and then one of the individual. And one of the individuals goes, yeah, I saw that dog too. I'm kind of concerned. I go, yeah, okay, so I'll just leave it up to you. And then Susan at Lifetime jumps in the conversation and says, hey, this isn't our parking lot. We can't do anything about it. Let me just give you the non-emergency number for Plymouth Police. I go, excuse me? She goes, it's not our parking lot. I go, what do you mean it's not your parking lot? She goes, I think she said the city of Plymouth owns it. And she goes, let me get you the number to non-emergency. I go, I got a phone. I go, so you're telling me all these cars are parked here? And this isn't. She goes, let me get you that number again. I don't need the number. And I go, Susan, don't you think this is a cop-out? No, I don't. Let me get, and for a fourth time, she goes, let me give you the number. I go, I'll just call it on my own. And I started walking on the steps, and I wanted to turn around and say, what if I told you that somebody is getting assaulted in the parking lot? Where is the line where you're going to say it's not our parking lot? Because I'm assuming she's right that they don't technically own the parking lot. I'll believe her on that. But it's a standard looking Lifetime. It also has a hockey rink on one end. It's 3 o'clock. It's pretty crowded. There's a lot of cars there. I just thought the explanation was so weak. It's not our parking lot. We can't do anything about it. Here's the phone number. It bugged me. So then I called the non-emergency number. And the police department is nearby. And I said about the same thing. I agree. This is a weird situation. You guys might want to do something about this. It's up to you. And I described the scenario. And she's like, okay, what end of the parking lot? Described it. And says, what's your name? I go, my name's Chad. She goes, what's the number? I go, listen, I'm not trying to get that involved. Do I have? She's like, no, you don't. Thanks for calling. As I hang up, a guy who I saw working out the whole time I was there comes out. And he goes to the trunk of the car. And I get out of the car and I go, excuse me, sir. This, again, is something I don't do. But I saw the car. I saw your dog. I was concerned. Do you think it was a good decision to leave your dog in the car? And the guy goes, listen, I really appreciate you for asking that and caring about my dog. But my dog suffers from separation anxiety. And so that's why I brought, I don't remember if he said him or her here. And also the dog gets really cold really fast. So I kept the windows up. But then he said, again, I really, really appreciate that you stuck around and asked me about it. I go, okay, I'm not trying to meddle. This isn't what I do. I'm just trying to make sure that the dog is okay. Dogs can have separation anxiety. I get that. Now, whether the dog's at the house, whether the dog's at the condo, whatever, when you're in the car, you're still going to probably have separation anxiety, right? And some dogs do get cold quicker than others. And again, it was 35, whatever it might be. His explanation and his response to me, I thought, was great because I look like somebody who's nosy and is getting involved. And for about the ninth time, I never do this. I just think the lifetime by just saying, we don't own the parking lot, so we're not going to do anything about it is absurd. The reason why people are in this parking lot in order to go to Lifetime, if something's going on at Pick, and maybe they're parking there because something else is going on. If your business creates all that traffic, if you want to say, we don't think it's significant enough, if you want to say something, but just to say it's not our parking lot, so we're not going to do anything about it, is weak in my view. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it's, I mean, like you said, if it's what has to happen for you to actually care. I mean, it is your parking. Yes, you may not own it, but it is, you know, I don't know, 98% of the cars in there are people going into your business. So, yeah. That's a cop-out.
Yes. It sounds like, you know, corporate liability speak to me, right? That the first move is, well, it's not our responsibility because we don't own the parking lot, so we don't want that particular customer getting mad at us, or we don't want the police to think that we need to be involved in some way, shape, or form. It's just immediately passing the buck.
Yeah.
Right? It almost reminds me of the way that we talk about schools and zero tolerance policies all the time. It's the automatic move instead of trying to stop for a moment and use an ounce of common sense. We're just going to immediately try to shove this off our plate and put it on somebody else's because we don't want to deal with it.
Among the texts, a dog in a car on a sunny day in the 30s couldn't have been more comfortable. Chad, I commend you for at least showing concern for the animal. Good on you. While I'm shocked the guy responded positive, didn't go crazy if this happened to 100 people, how many you think would have got upset with you? I was thinking that, Adam.
Yeah.
Trust me.
The fallback is mind your effing own effing business.
Yes.
You know, just even people just get defensive when they get called out on stuff. Even though they might be in the wrong, people get defensive about it.
Hey, among my faults, I can get defensive.
Oh, me too. I'd be like, mind your own business.
Yes. What exactly is the problem? As a dog owner, I've left my dog in a car with similar weather. I put a water in a bowl, and that's it. Nothing wrong with it at all. Just my take. Now, in hot weather, I would break a car window. Well,
that's where I'm coming from. To me, that wouldn't alert. I wouldn't be overly concerned at that point. But as you know, I hate dogs. So, yeah, I mean.
In fact, he gathers.
Everybody's agreeing.
He gathers dogs in the neighborhood and puts them in the car.
Here, get in the car.
I was thinking that. I just didn't want to be the person who left a dog in this car.
What kind of sick human being drives away from that?
And then all of a sudden I find out that a dog perished.
If you're going to err on one side or the other, I think you erred on the correct side.
Listen, I point this out every single day. Nobody on this planet loves God's creatures more than me. I'm an optimist. I am always looking for the good, the positive in people.
Hello?
Adam, you know me very well.
Well, this would be the case, right, where it would be like this dog somehow dies or, you know, chews through a line and blows up the entire parking lot.
Look at that. He just threw the American flag on the ground.
And there would be video.
It's President's Day.
Police want to talk to this man who was seen tapping on the window just before Fluffy chewed through the gas line. And, you know, we need to identify him. And there's like one time I would have stopped and...
Yeah.
I drove away.
And then all of a sudden, when they showed the photo, Adam would have been, that's your car. And also come in here.
and hit this button.
We have some breaking news. WCSC Radio's own Shad Hartman.
I would call Plymouth Police, and I would give my name. Yes, you can follow up with me.
Left a dog to die. The car exploded. It brought down Plymouth Lifetime. 74 Paris. Did I mention that it was WCC Radio's own Shad Hartman? Yeah, what if what's the scenario of the person comes out, and it's a health club, right? And 6'5", 280 pounds.
Ripped.
Just absolutely ripped.
Yoked.
And yoked, exactly. And just looking mad as can be.
Yeah.
What am I doing then?
You're getting in the car and getting out of there as quickly as humanly possible.
You got a great dog.
Exactly. The chances are at that point, that guy that big, that upset, I'm going, okay, I've done my good.
Yep.
Let me get a – hey, can I clean your car first? Can I tell you what a great dog you have? I had a dog with separation and anxiety, but he loved to be in the car. He would have lived in there if it was up to me. Modern cars don't cool down that fast on a sunny 30-degree day. Yeah. We know what Adam would have done. Dan. And it's sad. It's really sad what Adam would have done.
Would have lit a match and tried to toss it in an open window.
Okay, now not
jeez,
quite.
Come on.
Not quite that far.
Well, Gertie listens to the show. Yes. She's at home going, whoa.
Gertie's gone.
I knew it.
Gertie's gone. Jen, can I drive with you?
Yeah.
Don't leave me with that guy in the beard.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.